all share the same glory, regardless of how God purposes to take us from this world. If that weren't the case, then we should all get up right now and go out there and try to lay down our life for Christ, because that means we're going to have a greater glory in heaven. That's foolishness. Just identifying with Christ in a world of opposition and isolation, even among our families. See, Abner tried to deter Asahel with that. What am I going to tell your brother if I kill you? He was trying to play on Azahel's emotion with those family ties. But what did Christ say? Except a man deny himself and hate his father and mother, he cannot be my disciple. He doesn't mean to be mean-spirited, but there's going to be a separation. That's not going to determine emotionally our relationships. There's some of us that have been cut off from our families over this gospel. That's as much of a conflict or a warfare or a death as it is to die physically. But why is it that none of that matters? Well, when God gives you His Spirit, you can do no other but to follow after Him. And here's how I know that He's addressing ones that He redeemed. Because in verse 19 He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But repentance is not an act, it's an attitude. It's a change of heart, and it's continual. The word here is in the present tense. Continue to repent. Continue to look away from yourself to me, Christ. These are words that He is addressing to ones that He loves. Otherwise, He would not have even spoken. You know what the Lord does to those that for whom He didn't pay the day? He didn't love. When the disciples came and told our Lord, don't you know the Pharisees are offended? What did He say? Leave them alone. He would never say that of one of His own. That's a condemnation in and of itself. You don't want to be left alone. And it's in this context where He says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That the context is He is always at that door. But what door is it? It's the door of fellowship. That we have that throne of grace to which we come boldly and find grace to help in time of need. Is there ever a time we're not in need? And stop and think who we are as brethren. We're sinners by nature. But that brethren should dwell together in togetherness is the way it is written there. You can't separate this togetherness. We have that expression, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. We're family. Irrespective. Why? By our choosing? No. By the grace of God. And what a blessing to think of that. To think that, first of all, who am I or who are you that God should condescend and in the person of His Son come into this world and take on human flesh in order to identify with such sinners as we are and pay the sin debt that He might bring that unity, that peace, that oneness to reconcile once for all everyone that He came to save, reconcile them to God. And so when we read here of the blessedness of the unity in Christ, it's talking about who we are in Him. It's like John wrote, it does not yet appear what we shall be. When you look at me, you think, boy, there's a sinner. When I look at you, I think, there's a sinner. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, in other words, when He comes to take us from this world, and we are changed from mortal beings to immortal, where corruption takes on incorruption, then it will be evident that all of this was His purpose all along. And so what a blessedness it is.